Honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
I learned about manic depression at an early age. My grandmother had it. Now they say bipolar, and it's something that we just talked about as if, you know, grandma has heart disease and grandpa has diabetes and your other grandma is bipolar. And I wish we could talk about it that way. So I am so thrilled to have Andy Behrman on. He is the author of Electro Boy, and he is so open about his life. He's just an inspiration. Hello, Andy.
Hi, both of you. How are you?
Good. It's great to have you on the show. Andy, share a little bit of your story.
A little bit? What do we have? Do we have an hour? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
You know, you said that, briefly, Electro Boy is a chronicle of my battle with bipolar disorder, which, of course, I referred to when I was diagnosed, you know, more than 20 years ago. But, you know, now we do call it bipolar disorder. You know, for some reason it sounds better. But it's a chronicle really of 20 years worth of fighting an illness that wasn't diagnosed properly by 8 different doctors, which led to all sorts of insanity in my life while I was living in Manhattan in the mid-80s. Everything from alcohol abuse to drug abuse to prostitution to art counterfeiting, which eventually landed me in prison. And I was the golden boy. I just didn't know what was wrong with me, and it took a while for doctors to find out.
Well, I think mental illness is, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that I know myself, I suffered from anxiety for many years. And it's one of those things that because people can't see it, you know, it's hard for people to understand, I think, unless you're in that position. And I remember I wrote a great blog about it. And I think it's one of those things, like you say, until it's diagnosed and until you know what's wrong, then you could start making those changes. And I remember
when it is diagnosed, it doesn't really, quote, count because, you know, there, when I did tell people that I had something called bipolar disorder, they said, well, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're a smart guy. Figure it out. And those were the times that I wished that, A, I had, was missing a limb and was in a wheelchair so that people would really understand that this was something that was beyond my control. And I think the problem with mental illness is that people think because it's invisible or they see it as invisible or they don't, quote, see it, that they don't pay much mind to it. So it's a very lonely illness because you're just sitting there by yourself and, you know, besides the fact that there's no empathy, there's also no support. And things have not really changed too much, although it's nice to say that things have changed since 1999 when Bill Clinton said, you know, wow, there's this thing, it's called mental illness, and we need to really muster up support.
Absolutely. And so can you just, for those people who have heard of the term bipolar but may not know what it is, can you just briefly explain what bipolar means?
Sure. You know, there are different forms of bipolar, but for the most part, you know, especially in my case, it's really a combination of, you know, euphoric highs and these very desperate lows. It's the ups and downs. In my case, you know, I'd say that the euphoric highs represented about 95% of my time. You know, that's when I would just go to JFK airport, look for the next flight out of the country. It didn't matter if it was, you know, Romania, China, South America, and I just would pick up and go. It's an illness of, you know, not really understanding the consequences of your actions, whether it be overspending and spending $25,000 on a credit card, hypersexuality, illegal activity. Nothing seems to matter, but those are the highs. The lows are, in my case, were not, you know, they weren't the lows of depression, melancholy. It wasn't just lying in bed. I mean, I was. They were rageful, angry times for me.
You know, it's so interesting, Andy, because I recently was reading about somebody who, when they got depressed, there was this rage and anger, and I hadn't really, I heard that before, and then I've spoken with you, and then you brought that up, too. what does that feel like? And have you talked to anybody else who's experienced that as well?
I've talked to thousands of people who've experienced and have parallel stories. You know, in speaking to more than 20,000 patients with bipolar disorder after Electro Boy's been published, which is more than a decade ago, the parallels are so fascinating because you can find a 24-year-old boy, who's a kid who's graduated from college, and what he has in common with a 67-year-old woman with the same diagnosis who's a secretary in Atlanta, it's just astonishing. The symptoms are all the same. They manifest differently.
So, Andy, what are some of the things that you do? So tell us a little bit about, we have about, 3 minutes left. Tell us a little bit about what you did to take control of the bipolar so it didn't control you, and a little bit what is behind the name Electro Boy.
Oh, okay. Well, what's behind the name Electro Boy is that I had tried 45 medications over a period of about 8 years. Nothing worked. I couldn't break these manic cycles. There were 3 suicide attempts over a period of time. So I opted for the last resort. That's what I thought it was at the time, and that was electroconvulsive therapy, also called electroshock therapy or ECT. I had 19 rounds of ECT, which is not uncommon. It's not a lot. I know people who've had 400 treatments. Was ECT the answer to my problems? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The answer to problems was finding a proper medication regimen, one that worked for me, combination of that, diet, exercise, a great and supportive psychiatrist and therapist, and, add to that the will to get better, because 9 years, I had 9 really bad years where I was on disability, and I didn't even leave my apartment in Manhattan. It was pretty painful, and I never thought I'd get out of it. Today I live in Los Angeles. I'm a writer working on a second book. I've got 2 daughters who are 6 and 8, and it's a miracle. Most people who knew me then, a lot of them assume I'm probably just dead, but I always had hope. I always held out hope that I could get better from this invisible illness. And with the right support, which is not easy, and with the right treatment, which, in all honesty, is not accessible to everybody in this country, and that's my big beef, you can get well. But, there's so many different ways to get well, which I write about in Electro Boy, which I try to, keep up to date on my website. But there is hope, and hopefully one day this will be an illness where, people are given some respect, given the attention they need, the help they need, but we're nowhere. We're no further than we were, 10 years ago. It's nice to pretend that we are, but we're not.
So, Andy, really quickly, we have about a half a minute left. What, in your opinion, would be, not that you're cured now, but it's under control. I always relate mental illness to one of those, people overcoming alcoholism. It's one of those things that you deal with day by day. And
right. I cope. When people say, have you recovered? I say, no, I don't believe in recovery per se. I cope and manage with bipolar disorder every day. It's in my life. It lurks around the corner. And, there are ways to go about this. I'm in the process of writing, I think, what may be the best self-help book with another mental health advocate named Chris Curry, who's a Canadian, which is called The No Help Book. Okay, it's the first self-help book called The No Help Book.
Well, I think we need to continue this conversation. Unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but... Visit electroboy.com, and until next time, stay connected at Radio MD and Naturally Savvy, where we keep you informed and up to date on all things natural and organic. Stay well.